We want to talk to our friends from CTI, Community Teamwork Incorporated, because they are gearing up for their, every 3 years they do a community needs assessment, and it's coming on up faster than you know it. Preparations have already begun, and we're excited to welcome into the studios with us Miranda Allen. She is a grants coordinator for CTI. Good morning, Miranda. How are you?
Sorry,
I turned the wrong microphone up. Let's try this again. Good morning, Miranda. How
Good
are you?
Good morning. Well, how are you?
I'm doing much better now that I've got the right controller. They give me four microphones. I'm bound to screw it up. Anne Searway is with us as well. She's the Director of Planning and Quality Improvements. Good morning to you as well, Anne.
Good morning.
Great to have you both here. How's the driving out there, by the way?
It's sloppy. It's a skating rink.
Did you drive on in, or did you come from far away?
I sure did. I came in from Sudbury, so it's slow going, yeah.
Yeah, very, very treacherous out there.
So
let's talk about this community needs assessment. How long has CTI been doing this?
So we are a community action agency as part of, underneath the Department of Housing and Community Development. And so we have been a community action agency since 1965. So every 3 years since then, we go through this planning process where we take a look at the needs of the community that we serve so that we can, adjust our programs to reflect those needs.
When you talk about the needs of the community, what are we talking about? Are we talking about financial? Are we talking about medical? What exactly is it that we're talking about?
So we're looking at the causes and conditions of poverty, and certainly some of those things that you mentioned, transportation or health outcomes, all of those things roll up into and affect folks' poverty status.
Now, you do it every 3 years.
Yes.
Let me take you back to the last one, if we could. So what kind of came out of that, and what types of programs has CTI instituted since then to kind of work on the needs that you assessed back then?
One of the big things that came out last time was that we have a really significant need in the community for young people around housing. And so we, since then, over the past few years, I think they've been in and seeing you all a couple of times, have instituted a program for youth who are experiencing homelessness. And we actually have just renovated and are getting ready to open our Youth Opportunity Center at 67 Dutton Street.
Was that a surprise? When you found out that was kind of one of the issues, because it was an issue that a lot of folks didn't know about. I mean, we knew there was always a homeless issue, but I think until the results of your community needs assessment came out, I don't think people understood the magnitude of the issue. Did you folks at CTI have a sense of that as you went in, or were you totally surprised that that emerged as one of the major needs?
We knew housing was going to come up. Housing always comes up in this community. The cost of housing are out of hand. But the youth piece of it was sort of surprising. We do have our youth build program, so we work with youth, and it was coming up with those students who were coming in and having housing issues. So it wasn't completely shocking, but it was definitely bigger than we thought it was going to be.
Do you have a prediction on what you think might pop up as you do the next one?
We wouldn't be surprised if housing came up as a top need again.
Yeah. And last time, and I expect this time again, we're also going to see substance use and mental health.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
just needs around services and treatment.
Why does housing seem to be such a perennial problem?
I think nationwide, there's a lot of issues, particularly in Massachusetts. We are now, I think we learned recently, the third highest housing market in the country around rental prices. And Lowell is the third most expensive city in Massachusetts.
What are one and two? Boston, obviously.
Boston, what is number two?
I want to say the Cape, but don't quote
that
me.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you look at the size of this country and you have so many areas of where there's really nothing. You could go for miles and absolutely find nothing. And you think, man, we should be able to solve this housing situation, and especially being able to build some cheaper housing that will, be more affordable for folks who are struggling financially. Is it simply a matter of too many people congregating in too small of an area? I mean, I know always people will kind of congregate towards large cities, urban areas, but do we have to kind of start thinking outside the box and maybe saying it's time to kind of start shifting the burden and the services to other areas where maybe there is more land and more affordable land available to build more affordable housing?
I think part of the issue is people have to work. And so people need to live near where they work.
Where are the jobs, right?
They work where the business is, and the businesses tend to be in the city. And so that, I think that definitely affects that issue. There's also a lot of work going on around the country around zoning and single-family zoning taking up a lot of real estate that could, if weren't for those regulations, be spent potentially on multifamily housing and getting higher density into certain areas.
How do you tailor the assessment now? What goes into it? I would imagine there's a survey. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that there's different outreach. Kind of take me through the process of how this is going to evolve now. You won't actually get out and start doing the assessment until 2021, correct?
So we are in planning right now, so we will be pushing out the community survey actually in about a week or so. You know, we do the work now so that when we start 2021, we know these are the issues that we need to confront. So we have a couple of different data collection tools. So the big one that we're looking at right now is the community survey. We've also conducted key informant interviews with some, you know, key community stakeholders, getting their specialized lens on these issues that we're talking about. And then another piece of it is that we take a look at who we are as CTI as an employer. You know, we employ about 500 folks, so we examine how well we're doing as an employer, and then we also survey our clients. It's called our client satisfaction survey.
So who takes the survey? Is everybody in the public invited to take the survey, or do you specifically target it to certain folks?
So we are speaking to folks who live and work in these communities, and that is Lowell, Billerica, Chelmsford, Dracut, Dunstable, Tewksbury, Tingsboro, and Westford. And we're reaching out to a wide swath of organizations and businesses because we want to hit across different sectors.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, just in those communities alone that you mentioned, those are some really diverse communities. They're like,
yes.
like what Chelmsford needs
yes.
is probably completely different than what people in Lowell mm-hmm. are needing. Do you kind of break it down by community? And is CTI able to kind of say, all right, well, this is what they need in Billerica, but this is what they need in Lowell?
Because the survey looks at demographic information, we are able to look at the results and see, you know, if I lived in Chelmsford, I might present differently than someone in Lowell. I might have more trouble with transportation, let's say, getting to Lowell to access these services. So, yes, definitely.
And how long is the survey? How long does it, and where can you fill it? Is online, I would imagine?
So it's about 15 questions. It only takes a couple of minutes to complete. I would say the easiest thing for your listeners to do is go to our website. It's comteam.org, comteam.org. And on our homepage, there's a banner that you can click through. We have it available online in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. And then in print, it's going to be, you know, in all sorts of offices around this area. We have that available in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Khmer.
I know I had a question. You were talking about student homelessness and your student housing, mm-hmm. and you're going to open up at 167 Dutton.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the ages of the students?
We'd say youth is defined in the state as 16 to 24.
So where there'll be people under 18, will there be some type of offices in the building to service the underage, the minors?
Yes, and nobody lives at 167 Dutton. It's our youth opportunity center where folks can come. Our youth field programming is there. We also have our Milieu Service Center, which is where youth can walk in, and it's not fully open yet. We'll do a grand opening here in about a month.
Yep.
Youth can walk in and access showers and laundry services, and there's case management services there, and our staff is stationed there. So it's fully monitored. It's a safe environment for youth.
Nope, that's fine. You said housing. That was the question I had. There is a problem with student homelessness
mm-hmm.
in the high schools, and so I was just wondering what type of guidance there would be.
Sure. We have staff there who specifically work around rapidly rehousing anyone who is either folks are behind on their rent, they're worried they're going to become homeless. We have funding and sources that we can help folks maintain their current housing. Or if we do have people who don't have someplace to stay, we do have a few apartments that we actually can place youth in that currently are occupied that we have youth in. And then we have staff who specifically work on getting people rehoused and helping them access units and also the funding they need to stay in those units.
You know, just to follow up on something, because I served on the board for a few mm-hmm. years, and a lot of times people say, well, the cities do more than their shares, and a lot of the resources are in the cities,
mm-hmm.
but so aren't the areas of need, mental health, you mentioned jobs, mm-hmm. hospitalization, access to doctors, access to state agencies that help the poor, and they're all within walking distance. Mm-hmm. And as you said, bus lines. And so I think the cities do tend to see more because they do have the services.
Absolutely. And I think one of the reasons for community teamwork is important for us to be headquartered downtown is because people can get to us. They can take the bus down to the resource center and walk in if they need to see somebody. They can actually get to where we are and then walk to City Hall if they need to deal with something and walk to the health center if they need to do that. But for us, being where the people are is really important.
You know, and I was on the board. And a quick short story of what CTI does. For many years, over 30 years, I was a mailman, and you see different situations, mm-hmm. especially with the elderly. It was always the elderly, and I'd see someone who was having some difficult times, and I used to put them in my car at the end of the night and bring them down to CTI when it was on Dutton Street, mm-hmm. and they would help them with maybe food stamps, electric bill, cable bill, new refrigerators. What the purpose was to keep them in their homes, mm-hmm. so you don't have the homelessness that you're talking about. So, no, they've done a great job over the years.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of our really big pushes is trying to keep people housed. It's much easier and much cheaper, frankly, to keep people housed than it is to try and find a new place for them to stay.
Final question for me. How do you get the participation and the level of participation from the folks that you're anticipating are the target audience that needs these services? I'm going to guess, you know, you do different types of outreach, and I know mm-hmm. through this show as well, you know, we have a certain listening audience. But my hunch is that the homeless youth that you're trying mm-hmm. to reach, they're not as easy to track down through radio or print mm-hmm. or even other methods. Mm-hmm. And maybe other folks where language becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. And I know you put it on the website, but how do you make sure that they know that they can access this survey, that they can participate in it, and then most importantly, how do they know that they can access these services? What types of challenges do you face there in reaching out to these populations specifically? Because, you know, if I go out and fill out your survey, my hunch is my answers are not going to be anywhere near representative of somebody who's really in need
right.
of these services.
Well, we do want to see a diverse and robust response. So if you wanted to fill out the survey, we would absolutely welcome that. But it definitely is a question of access. And so anticipating that, we have it. We have print version, like I said, and we know that it can be easier to get response hand to hand. So we have a hit list of over 100 organizations that we're reaching out to right now. And again, we're trying to be very deliberate about, hitting a wide section of sectors, and particularly getting out of Lowell. That's not always easy to do, and we don't want our answers to be skewed toward Lowell.
Right, so we're very Lowell-centric here, but again, Billerica and other communities you're mentioning, totally different. What community partners are you using as well to help out? Are you using other community partners?
Yes, so I know that Merrimack Valley Housing Partnership has signed on with us. We're definitely looking at all the town halls in those 7 or 8 towns that I mentioned. That's really important. The senior centers through these through the towns, the educators, a wide range.
Yeah. The health center, the food bank.
Center, the food bank, yeah.
All right. So you mentioned the website that people can go to mm-hmm. see the survey. When is it going to get unveiled?
The 7th of January.
January 7th.
Yes.
It's sneaking up on us pretty quickly
it
here,
surely
isn't it?
It is, yes.
Next Tuesday, as a matter of fact. Uh-huh. What is that web address?
So it's www.commteam.org, comteam.org.
Comteam.org. And Searway, Miranda Allen from CTI, thank you so much for taking the time to come on in this morning, and thank you so much for what you're doing out there to help folks in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.